My name is Eric.
And I'm Brother Jay.
And this is our podcast.
Listen to my daddy and my Uncle Jay. Not in a creepy way.
That's my everlasting memory of that film. Not the film, but my ass getting blistered from the seat.
Awkward. I did not see that kind.
Oh, come on.
That's okay. I like this podcast.
Welcome. This is Eric.
And I'm Brother Jay.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2004 movie Primer, written, directed, produced, and starring Shane Carruth. Now, this is a 77-minute movie that was shot for an estimated budget of $7,000. And it shows. But not in a bad way.
Seemed like a much longer movie.
A little bit. It was pretty draggy, especially in the beginning. What did you think?
It wasn't a horrible movie. I don't know that I'd watch it again, although I watched it with Ben. And this, of course, was his recommendation. He's watched it now a couple times. He said it wasn't as good on the second time around. But from my feeling of the movie, it was an okay movie, although I felt that it was really, and maybe I was just overly critical, but they seemed like they were bad actors. So, or not experienced, maybe. It wasn't, and it dealt with topics that were a little complex, and so I had a hard time connecting with the characters, I guess.
And a little complex is sort of an understatement. The plot itself is very, very simple. It starts out with these four guys in a garage, but really it's just the two guys we care about. All four are like inventors on the side. They all work in some sort of tech job, and they've made a couple of inventions that they've been able to sell in small numbers, but they're still waiting for that big invention to get the venture capital and move out on their own. So the two of them, who are Abe and, I'm going to miss the name, is it Aaron?
I think so.
Yeah, so Aaron and Abe, which makes it difficult because they're both A-letter characters. I mean, they could just have, like, I don't know, gone with two names that started with different letters. That would have helped things. And if they weren't extremely white guys also, but that's beside the point. Anyway, these two guys inadvertently invent a time machine. And then the complicated part is then they use this time machine and they explain it. They go to great, great lengths to explain how the time machine works. Then the tale, as far as I'm concerned, the first time I saw it, I was trying to kind of guess all the complicated timeline issues, because there are some. I mean, by the end, there's like eight different time loops going on. But it's really, it all comes down to, did you see the movie A Simple Plan with Bill Paxton and Billy Bob Thornton?
I don't think so.
Well, it's not similar in any way as far as sci-fi or time machine or whatever, but it's basically they find a plane in the woods that crashed and is full of like a drug runner's supply of cash. So much like this, where these guys have created an invention that is too powerful to tell anybody about, you know, like it's worth too much and they don't know enough about it. They're afraid they're going to get screwed, so they can't tell anybody. And yet, you know, they want to. And so the quandary is, so you have this thing that can change your entire life. You can pretty much do whatever you want or whatever you've dreamed, but you have to keep it quiet. How do you do that? And so it's a morality tale, kind of. Although there's no real resolution to this story.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I walked away from it not quite understanding, but not understanding what the point of. I guess in one respect they could have just continued on the story infinitely, because they could have just kept going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Although it really wasn't back and forth as much as it was just going backwards and then living through it again.
Well, exactly. And that actually took care of part of the problem. Like, their time machine only went backwards.
Right.
So, but unfortunately, when it went backwards, you created another version of yourself. So that was a problem, because then by the end of the movie, there are several versions of everybody that have to be dealt with.
Or avoided. The movie made the good point of or at least from what I understood, and again, I got annoyed with this movie, so I may not have comprehended as much as perhaps I should have, but my understanding of what I was seeing was that they were having things happen because even though they were going back in time, people were changing that weren't them. Events were changing that weren't them. That the randomness of people were changing what they were doing because they had planned it to be one way. But when they went back in time, the reality was that the people didn't do the same things as they should have or they had done in the past.
Well, and that was the problem that they eventually encountered. That the whole idea, the conceit of the how the time machine worked is you turn the time machine on and you just let it run. And then however many hours later, you get into the time machine and you are then able to get out at the beginning point. So then you can relive that however many hours you had in there. So you were only given a very finite amount of time you could use, which they kind of played around with at the end. But yeah, you mean basically they went back, and then when they redid stuff, they realized that things were going slightly differently or that they were acting slightly differently. And often, by the end, they were going back to fix things they had done wrong when they went back the first time. And so by the end, the one guy, Abe, I believe. Oh, the dog. Anyway, by the end, the one guy, Abe, who is basically, I guess, the moral center of the film, he does what he can to go back, and every time one of the other copies does something that could lead to the invention of this thing in the first place, he's going to stop them, or at least to build. They could go back a certain amount of time, and then the one guy built a machine, like a fail-safe machine, that went back even further but didn't tell the other guy, and then the other guy took a version of the time machine and put it in a different story. It was all very complicated.
Well, I put the time machine in the time machine.
Yeah, you put the time machine in the time machine and take it back before the time machine.
It started to get very convoluted very quickly, and I think that was my problem with the movie, is that it tried to be so smart, and that just so it tried so hard to be so scientific, and as much as time travel can be scientific. It tried to take such a scientific approach that it forgot the story. My problem with it is there wasn't enough substance of the story that kept me really all that interested. They had this subplot of the father-in-law who ended up in a coma, and then they had the subplot of the party where the gun and the hero and the blah blah blah. And I'm like, well, okay, those are great things, but you those were like a minute and a half parts of this movie. And so if those were the impetus to you going back and fixing things, it would have been nice to have some more story development, but that's not what your story was about.
Well, and frankly, I didn't even get the fact that the father-in-law was the venture capitalist guy. I mean, there's only like 9 characters in the whole movie, so I should have been able to figure it out. But all of a sudden they're dealing with this guy who's in a coma, and you're like, who is this guy and why do we care? And, and eventually it becomes a little more clear, but it's like, oh, come on. And this guy, Shane Carruth, is a smart guy, but he also wants you to know that he's a smart guy. So he'd spent a lot of time. Well, they made 2 choices. The choices he made were he wanted to film it. He wanted to actually have the time machine mechanics work. And I think he was successful there. I mean, all the time loops, they seem to all work together and nothing gets violated in his original rules. So that worked okay. But the second thing he did was he didn't dumb down the language or didn't have like the crazy, major exposition reporting for duty to come and tell you, oh, how did this all happen? They all talk like jargon from the very beginning. So you just kind of leap into that venture capital, entrepreneur, engineer world.
I think that was on purpose.
Oh, it was totally on purpose. Yeah. And that worked.
But you're right.
Too, except the problem with that is it kind of puts you off a little bit, at least for me.
It's alienating.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you only have 77 minutes to work with and you're going to have plot twists, you want to care about some character in here. I mean, forget everybody else. Those 2 guys at the end of it, you need to have feelings about them. Otherwise, the ending doesn't matter. And then there's these side issues like the father-in-law and the wives or wife and a girlfriend. I couldn't even figure that part out because even though that would have been nice to have that as part of the story, they were just alienated completely.
Right. And like I said, the story was very disjointed and it wasn't very linear. I mean, I shouldn't say linear. It was a time story. It can't be linear, but the story didn't tie together. And so the problem is they had all these bits and pieces. And I don't know if the point was for us to figure out, put the pieces together, except to me, that just further distracted from the story, because I was trying too hard to figure out what the other pieces were.
Well, exactly. Is it a story or is it a game? Because if it's a puzzle, if you're trying to solve a puzzle, you're going to spend one kind of energy watching it. And if you're just trying to be entertained, you're going to spend a different kind of energy watching it.
Right.
Now, for a $7,000 movie shot on 16mm film, I thought it looked pretty great. But as I was watching, I'm thinking, oh, this must have cost nothing to make. Because there's not very many characters. And they wear the same things constantly, which is a nice part of time travel movies, is that there's not as much costuming.
That's true.
I guess if you have no other characters, I mean, I guess if they went back in time, way back, or if they went forward in time, you'd have a big problem there. But they didn't have any budget to work with. And then, you know, the thing made like $400,000 eventually, you know, in the box office. But I think it was just a preview to what this guy could actually do. Because like I said, I think he did a good job as far as technically. But the problem is that, you know, again, the nice little camera things, like they washed out the film, which gave it sort of a sense, but it also took care of a lot of the problems with lighting it. So all in all, would you recommend it to somebody else?
I would say, you know, if you're bored and have nothing else to watch and you're interested to try and torture your brain for a little while, you know, you give it a kick. I wouldn't go out of my way to seek it out, and I certainly wouldn't pay for it.
They took a little bit of the fun out of a time travel movie. I mean, all the successful time travel movies, they don't dwell too much on the time travel part of it, because the whole thing is, you know, it's like, it just needs to be pure fucking magic, you know? So you get in the time machine, it takes you back. There's got to be some rules, because, you know, then there's no tension or no peril that you're in if you break them. But other than that little bit of explanation, I mean, you know, the doctor getting the lightning so he could have however many gigawatts of power into the DeLorean, that's all you need to know.
And I think part of this movie tried to tell, I think there was more of the story and they cut pieces out of it. And the reason I say that is because they had the whole tangent about, oh, you know, how's your handwriting?
Oh yeah, they set it up almost for a sequel. Although again, I'm not so sure I'd be interested in watching that sequel.
Right. Well, and you know, and I guess part of the movie was the struggle of, you know, the friend versus friend and how it changed their friendship and actually turned them against each other.
And that's why I think I would recommend watching A Simple Plan, because that's a much better telling of that story. Of how paranoia and greed will divide friends and family and loved ones and everything. Because at the heart of it, like I said, the first time I watched it, I was like, wow, you know, this is very complicated. And then I went online and I found that timeline that gave you kind of all of the time loops and where things fit in. And then, but by the second time I watched the movie, because I intended to watch it twice after seeing it the first time, it wasn't even about the time machine. It was about these two guys and how, yeah, their friendship changes and their level of trust just goes out the window.
But that story was so minimal and compared to all of the time travel crap.
And the setup was so long. I mean, you know, that's the thing. When you said in the beginning about it was a 77-minute movie that seemed longer. Well, it could have been a great 23-minute Twilight Zone episode, you know?
Yeah, and probably done with better actors.
Well, yeah, of course. But, of course, this was this guy's one show. And I thought, I don't know, I wasn't offended by the acting. Although there was,
I wasn't offended by it, but it was distracting to me.
And the end of it, they explained some of what was stiff acting by the convention of having the tape machine playing so that they had to just say the awkward lines over exactly the same way.
I suppose that that's true. And yeah, okay. I will concede that a little bit.
Because on the second time viewing, you realize more that, okay, what you're watching now isn't this guy's first time through this event. And then pretty soon they're both wearing headphones during certain parts. Because you don't see hardly any of the time travel at all. I mean,
well, no, because there's no time travel. They're just in the machine.
Well, exactly. But I mean, you don't actually know where in the time stream you are when the movie starts.
That's true.
Because it's not only is it not, you know, it's not linear because it's dealing with time travel, but it's also not linear because you don't know if it's Abe 1 talking to Aaron 2 or vice versa until the end of it when you figure out, oh, they've gone back further than we think, and then these other things are happening to prevent other things, and then how do cell phones work? I thought that was kind of a clever thing they were trying to do, but I don't think it ultimately worked very well.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So anyway, so not a great movie. I mean, certainly not a, I don't think it was much of a recommendation. I could think of better time travel movies. I mean, I'd recommend 12 Monkeys and The Butterfly Effect.
Oh, I think 12 Monkeys is by far a better movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, Groundhog
Day. Not just because it has Bruce Willis, because,
You know, Looper was pretty good. The Butterfly Effect's pretty good. The Back to the Future movies were great, but time travel was just a way to tell a good story. That's what that's about.
I was trying to think about time travel movies, but most of the time travel movies that I've seen are like, H.G. Wells and you know, of course, Star Trek with the we're going to slingshot, and, then, of course, the Back to the Future movies, and, but then, then you get into movies with alternate timelines, which, movies like Donnie Darko, which at least Donnie Darko was strange enough that it kept you, it captivated you and had more story.
Oh, no, I agree. Donnie Darko was a good movie. I mean, you don't quite know what you're getting into.
And the Creepy Bunny and Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. Well, and John Ritter, right?
Yes, I think so. It's been too long since I've seen it.
Maybe it's not John Ritter. Anyway. Yeah, maybe it is Patrick.
Oh, now you're second-guessing yourself.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's the problem. So, I got a chance to listen to the Alton Brown cast.
Oh.
And I was pleasantly surprised. You might have guessed, but I jumped right to the Valerie Bertinelli episode.
I'm actually listening to that today.
Yeah, and that probably is not one of the better ones, but, it caught my interest.
Yeah. But it's so fun for me to listen to him and hear him as, like, a real person.
Absolutely.
To me, I think he's still a little bit reserved in some ways, but I think this is much more him than anything that I see him on TV. I think he's very shy. And so part of that, I think, is that because I suffer that sometimes too, that I'm not comfortable around people I don't know well. And so I just give off this affront of stay away from me because I'm mean and I will hurt you. Cause it's a good defense mechanism. But I in listening to the podcast, I don't know if I don't get his sense of humor sometimes or if it's true, but he's a little bit of a misogynist, I think.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that it's meant in meanness, but I just, some of what he says, I'm not sure if I should be laughing because it's a joke or if he actually means it. But then again, he admits his wife doesn't like to cook, so, he doesn't enforce those kinds of gender roles, and he's very concerned about his daughter and how that she has a good relationship with food and grows up smart, and so, I don't know. It's difficult for me to quite get a good grasp from a two-dimensional audio recording of someone. And, of course, a very edited, limited portion of audio, which is interactive. But again, not to, because I like him. I like him very much even still.
Oh, yeah, no. I like I said, I've been enjoying it. I'll listen to more, most definitely. And the fact that he's not so uptight that he was able to say, he was able to gush a little bit about interviewing Valerie Bertinelli.
Right. Well, As he talks about, he had Bobby Flay on and they talked about horses.
I mean, that's the best part of a podcast is that, the tangents you go off on and...
We're talking about podcasts instead of movies.
Yeah, exactly, which is fine. Especially since this wasn't a movie that was... I knew at the time, it's like, oh, this isn't a lot to work with.
There's no way to turn this into much longer commentary.
There's no hour and a half podcast about this particular 77-minute movie.
No.
Yeah.
No, nor would I want there to be one. I would quickly find a way to build my own time machine.
Well, exactly, yeah. Actually, I would just like that place to sleep. If I could just go into the box for 6 hours, in the storage space, that would be just fine some days.
Well, except that they weren't really, now we're going back to it, they weren't really sleeping because they were tired. But then, of course, they were going back and living that time all over again.
Yeah, so what little sleep they got, they had to, it's like getting off a plane in the morning in the place you arrived.
Yeah, but then they were still sleeping in the box. It's just something, I just didn't like it, I guess. I'll leave it at that.
Well, and that's the thing, is that, they had this clever little invention. They didn't do enough with it. That's kind of where it comes down to.
Although I really did dig that they used the little Weebelo or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, there were little touches here and there. I did think there was some relationship between the two guys that was explored a little bit, but they kind of, again, we're going back to it, but part of the thing was you know, Abe was all upset that Aaron became a hero at that party because he was putting himself in jeopardy and he has a wife and kids and he didn't even think about that. And later, Aaron tells Abe basically that he's jealous of his wife and kids and, you know, maybe he should just keep a copy of them for himself. And yet you never really got that. I mean, those were just sort of throwaway things that they never really developed any of it because neither the wife or the kids were important parts of the story and they weren't developed at all. So what's on tap for next week?
Well, I don't know. Well, you tell me.
What do you think about David Cronenberg?
Well,
I mean, what about, like, have you seen Eastern Promises?
No.
Or A History of Violence?
Nope.
I'm not sure they're up your alley. But although Viggo Mortensen is in both of them.
That's not a sell.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. Anyway, maybe that's... I don't know. I say if you want to convince me of 2001, and then we'll talk about Rat Race at the same time. Does that work?
Okay. All right. We can do that.
Yeah.
Cronenberg. So,
or if you want to wait... If you want to wait on the 2001 thing, we can do that later, too, and just devote the whole thing to Rat Race and call it good.
I will try to do 2001. I'll definitely do Rat Race. And then, you know, if we can't draw out enough from Rat Race, we can talk about 2001. Although I think we'll probably be able to get a fair bit of mileage out of Rat Race.
Oh, yeah. No, I think Rat Race will not be a problem. I have opinions about that movie.
And anybody who might be out there listening at this point, if you're going to follow us next week, by all means, you need to go watch Rat Race because you should not have this movie spoiled by anybody, and it is fantastic. Although I will probably watch it again, having seen it enough times, and I will laugh my ass off as if I was an 8-year-old anyway.
So. Oh, I, there's no way not to, I think, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, and people, don't forget the DVD extras.
Well, the extras are in that movie. I think the extras actually are the better part of the movie. But one of the best parts of the movie is it has the longest setup and payoff for a joke ever in a movie I've seen.
Oh, absolutely.
And they repeatedly go after it, but it's hilarious.
Oh yeah, okay. So we'll definitely talk about it. And of course, I'm always thinking to the next show and the next show and the next show and the next show. Which, on today's episode, I may regret, since this show may actually be pretty short. Although there is a plea that I want to get out there and request your assistance with. The plea is this. As far as statistics, which are driving me crazy, in a good way, because, you know, the nice thing about Libsyn is they give you pretty cool statistics, so I can see geography and I can see, you know, device that was used or that kind of thing. So the numbers look fine for a tiny little podcast like ours. But what we're not getting as much of as I'd like is feedback. I mean, obviously, we've got a couple iTunes reviews. They're now all 5-star reviews. Thank you very much, Bubbles. So that's nice, you know. But it would be nice to get, I don't know, there has been some Facebook interaction, which has been cool. But just more of that kind of thing. People who don't have Facebook, send us an email to show@notinacreepyway.com. You want to be in the show? Just let me know. Pick a movie you're passionate about.
I'm telling you, you need to make the coffee mug thing, because then you can make a coffee mug and give a coffee mug away. People like the free swag.
That's true. Yeah. Well, at this point, I can give away my Blu-ray copy of 2001 if they want it.
Wait. Hey. That's just crazy talk. If nothing else, you should torture your daughter with it in another 10 years.
Well, you're going to have to explain to me why I need to do that. That's the important part.
Because then, of course, it will no longer be Brother Jay. It will be Uncle Jay, so...
Yeah, that's true. Well, you can be whatever you want to be. And actually, it's funny, because I think I'm taking my name off of the icon and either putting both of our names or no name. Because it's definitely... Well, I mean, I cannot envision a program where it's just me talking. I don't think it would
be... Well, I don't know. I think you're fully capable of talking by yourself for an hour.
Well, I could talk by myself, but I don't think it would be as entertaining.
Well,
as the conversational aspect of this, which I'm going to enjoy very much.
Okay, well, that may be fair, but then there's me who makes up words and gets things wrong. So I never cease. I hope that I can be an unending source of mayhem and entertainment.
No, you know what? Every time I watch reruns of My Name is Earl and I look into the beautiful blue eyes of Jennifer Jason Leigh, I'm remembered of sometimes the funniest things in a podcast are things that are slightly wrong.
Yeah, but I knew it was wrong as soon as I said it.
Well, that's okay. You know, it's funny, on Bert Kreischer's last, or I don't know if his last podcast, that's also the beauty of podcasts is, you know, you can shift them to whatever time you want. But Bert Kreischer, one of his last podcasts, I think he was talking to Ari Shaffir, he was certain that Barack Obama had only served one term and had not been reelected. I mean, it was like on year three of his first term. And they had this whole 10-minute discussion where they tried to look it up online because neither of them could remember who he ran against last. And yet, it was pretty entertaining. So,
and that, well, I think that's funny as a populist because I think we all do that with certain things. We're all like, where did that happen? And, you know, Mondale? What?
Yeah, exactly.
He only got one state? No, that can't be right.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, and I'm going to have to go up and look up to make sure to see if John Ritter was in Donnie Darko or it was just Patrick Swayze. And
I can spoil it for you if you'd like me to, or I can let you look it up in your own glory.
Either way, actually, you know what? Maybe I'm thinking of Nowhere with John Ritter as a televangelist, and in Donnie Darko it was Patrick Swayze who was the televangelist or some sort of creature?
Yeah, Patrick Swayze.
Okay.
The Swayze was in Donnie Darko.
You know what? Also, at some point we need to do Roadhouse.
I was going to bring that up, actually. It was kind of uncanny that you did. Because I'm, of course, a huge Patrick Swayze fan, so...
Well, I just... You know, there are, like, 6 parts of Roadhouse that I love absolutely.
So I like all of... They're all of Roadhouse. I don't care what you say. All of Roadhouse is just a fantastic movie, and it had Sam Elliott, so...
Oh, it had Ben Gazzara was great in that. Jeff Healey, for God's sakes.
I mean, well, Jeff Healey, But because you were a big Jeff Healey fan, so.
I was.
And I like a couple Jeff Healey songs, you know, Angel Eyes, which is ironic considering, you know, No Eyes. But Patrick Swayze, you know, then there's that whole, we could have nothing but like the next 6 weeks of Patrick Swayze if we really wanted to.
Well, it was funny because I was asking your mother what she thought, and she hadn't heard all of them.
Our mother.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was asking our mother. Okay, let me start again. I was asking our mother about the podcast, and she, one of her comments was, oh, so are you guys going to do like, say, all the Johnny Depp movies? Johnny Depp movies? What are you talking about? You know, that kind of stuff. Like, okay. I mean,
first of all, there's more than like 3 Johnny Depp movies.
No, it turns. I mean, Johnny Depp's actually a pretty good actor, depending on what stage of his career you see him in.
It was just a bad joke.
No, I know, but it's like she threw Johnny Depp out there as if it was like, you know, I don't know. It was just out of left field, and it made me smile. Thought, you know, and then when I talked, I said Drew and I were going to do Lethal Weapon. She goes, "Oh, you need to do all the Lethal Weapon movies."
Oh no!
I'm like, "Well, that's a problem. we can do them all in one shot because it'd be like, oh, Lethal Weapon 1 was great, and then all the rest not so much."
Yeah, that would be my synopsis. I don't think I could go back and make myself watch more than the first Lethal Weapon, and at this point, I don't know if I could sit through the Lethal Weapon again.
Well, you're gonna hear about my experience and Drew's experience watching it again here pretty soon.
Excellent.
Although I think we're gonna do Tombstone first.
I'm glad to have my younger brother thrown into the my younger brother included.
Yeah, of course.
But to go back to Patrick Swayze, since now you've opened Pandora's box, you know, because there's, you know, Point Break, which is a god awful movie that I sat through, but there's Tu Wong Fu. With okay. Wesley Snipes and John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. It's a great, I don't care who you are, that's a great movie. There's of course Ghost, which I have a love for Ghost.
Never seen it.
You've never seen Ghost?
Never seen Ghost.
Come on.
No, I'm just, this is going to be the only thing that will inspire me to see it. So that's fine. If you want to do Ghost, we'd be happy to do Ghost.
Oh, you've got to watch Ghost. That's got to go on your list. You're a bad human being.
Oh, Ghost. Your list of judgment just got a little longer.
Cha-ching! Yes, it did. Yeah. Sorry, I invoked the list of judgment.
Fine. Are you kidding?
I should have not wielded its power from this distance. I do not know the power of it sometimes. Ghost has... Come on, Ghost has Whoopi Goldberg and that chick that I can never remember her name.
Dinty Moore.
Dinty Moore. Demi Moore. And, you know, and oh, yeah, no.
Oh, no, no, we can do Ghost. Like I said, I've never seen it, so it may be the great opportunity for me to see it and then be...
I'm really shocked, because that's the quintessential, like, well, I guess, no, I guess never mind.
Well,
now
no, there were, well, there was a period of time where there were a couple movies that, because of whatever, I took a certain amount of pride in never seeing. Like, I never saw that. I never saw When Harry Met Sally. It was like, there's no reason, you know, if I'm not sort of caught in a situation where I'm going to have to see some sort of romantic comedy or tearjerker romance or something, you know, again, it's my whole philosophy of, you know, I want to see movies with lots of sex and violence in them. I don't want to see movies with tears in them.
And Ghost is like a three hanky movie. There's no spoiler there, but, certainly, When Harry Met Sally's not a, I didn't think it was a sad movie. It was a kind of this, to me, it was a very kind of dark comedy.
I mean, apparently it's supposed to be, I don't know, like I said, I've never seen it. I don't know. I've seen lots of bad movies. That just doesn't have to be one I've seen.
I would say When I Hear Myself is pretty good. I mean, I don't know that I would be like, you have to watch it, but you know, if you have the chance, it's good, but I wouldn't, you know, it's out of the scheme of movies in the world. You not seeing it isn't going to have a huge impact.
Oh no, no,
but
no.
You know, but anything with Patrick Swayze, you have to see it.
Okay. Well, there's Ghost I haven't seen. And then there's that one about putting baby in the corner.
You've never seen Dirty Dancing?
I saw part of it. I have not seen the whole thing. No.
Well, I will tell you this right now. You know that our mother and our younger brother loved that movie, Dirty Dancing. Probably still do love it. Unless my memory is completely broken, which I'm getting there these days. I recall that Drew and our mother had a hankering for that movie, and it was fierce. So I am in no way going to sit through that movie ever again.
Okay, all right.
Ever. Never, never. You would have to pay me seven digits or more.
Okay, well, here's another movie that I have never seen, although
I'll finish my point real quick. So certainly you might want to watch it just if nothing else, because it's got Jennifer Grey and it's got Patrick Swayze and it's got...
Jerry Orbach, right?
Right. And so, you know, and the famous horrible one-liner. So, I would watch it, but I, you know, watch it with somebody who likes it, because I would hate to trash it, because I'm sure it has some value, because it certainly has pop culture value, because there's a whole generation of women that went gaga for it. But I would rather, you know, peel my eyelashes off and set myself on fire. So.
So I'm going to put you down as a tentative no for Dirty Dancing.
For maybe.
Okay, well, hey, here's another movie that I saw part of the other day, mm-hmm. and I almost want to watch the whole thing for context, just because it seems so absurd, and that's Footloose. I saw that the Kevin Bacon dancing scene. It is simply amazing.
And this is going to make me a bad American. I don't like Footloose.
Yeah, well, other than Let the Kids Dance, I can't, and of course the Kenny Loggins song, and everybody loves Kenny Loggins because he's Jesus.
Well, and this is, see, okay, I'm digging the hole deeper. I don't like Kenny Loggins, so.
Well, okay, then.
Send all the hate mail to me. No.
There's only one question to ask you when you say you don't like Kenny Loggins, and that's, Brother Jay, why do you hate America?
Yeah, well. Danger Zone.
We got to do Top Gun too. I mean, maybe not you and I doing Top Gun, but
Top Gun. Where do I begin? I can't even tell you the horribleness of Top Gun because I saw Top Gun. I will tell you the story because I'm not watching it with you, or I'm sorry, I'm not watching it to review it here. I'm putting my foot down, but I will tell you the story of how and where I watched Top Gun.
Oh, please do.
I was dragged over to one of high school. These were high school years, so this would have been 1980, late 80s sometime. And you remember Paula.
Oh, yeah.
Dragged me to one of her friends' houses because her parents were out of town for the weekend, and so we had the pizza and soda, and it was the most just crazy, stupid, unwild event of the weekend where all of us teenagers got a house to ourselves and we ate pizza and drank soda and watched movies.
Which actually as a parent now, that's a consummation devoutly to be wished of your children.
Well, I know. I look back and I'm like, that's all we did? I'm like, wow, we were lame.
Well, but you know, I don't know. If, you know, had you guys, like, snorted cocaine off a hooker's ass, it would have been a different environment entirely, and you wouldn't have remembered the Top Gun story.
But at any rate, so we were at this person's house, and who I barely even knew, and all these people I barely knew, and, you know, my starkest recollection was that we watched this movie, which I didn't really have a lot of interest in, and it was horrible, and we were all eating food and drinking, and one of the girls laughed so hard she wet her pants, and that's what I remember. So that's what I associate with Top Gun, is women wetting their pants.
And that's a whole different section of the video store.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, maybe I have some weird, bad association because of it. So, but maybe that's my Kenny Loggins anti-fixation. But I am not with the Loggins. Or as he said when he was a character actor on Archer, you know, the K-Logs is, I think, what he called himself. So I digress. But I absolutely volunteered Drew to watch Top Gun.
He's got a whole nother list of movies that he does very much want to, and then another list of movies he very much does not want to revisit. So I'm not sure where Top Gun fits on that.
I'd kind of be interested. I'm kind of interested to hear his list of things he doesn't want to revisit.
We can make that happen. In fact,
I think
I'm going to do another double recording next week where I talk to you and then I talk to him later in the night, and we're going to talk about Collateral. But I can always I can work in the whole list of movies he doesn't want to revisit, because that might be interesting as well.
Well, I just think it would be fascinating, because I'd be wondering how many of those I would actually watch. Yeah, no, I'd just be interested, because, you know, because I was thinking today about movies you and I were talking about, and it spawned me to think about other movies entirely, like Donnie Darko, which we hadn't discussed before, and Roadhouse, which we both obviously had in the back of our minds but hadn't discussed. So I think by adding this kind of this ring around the rosy approach to discussing movies, with the three of us, it may spawn kind of other movies that we've all seen that we haven't talked about.
Okay. I don't understand. I mean, are we going to die of the plague or something? Or why is it a ring around the room? I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. No, it was
a poor choice of words.
No, I'm enjoying the, having a reason to talk about these movies is pretty great. And the fact that, you know, like I said, I have two brothers and they are completely different. I mean, there are some things that we all three share, but yeah, definitely there's left and right turns along the way, and, you know, and then there's movies that I had forgotten, you know, things like Roadhouse. I mean, I happen to use Roadhouse a lot when I talk to trainees at work, and I can talk about that during the Roadhouse story, but, you know, it's other than that, there's no real cultural significance to Roadhouse now, except that it's just a brilliant movie.
Well, I'm sorry. I take issue with that. Of course, it has Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott.
Yeah, okay.
That's all you need. That's all you need to know.
Oh no, I realize that. You know, I love it too. You don't have to convince me.
No, I'm saying that's all anybody needs to know. If they're like, oh, I don't know, I'm like, no. Sam Elliott, Patrick Swayze. You sit down and watch this movie, or you're just a bad, ugly American.
It is officially on the list, most definitely.
Yeah, it should have been on my list, but I didn't think about it.
Well, you never know. So, okay,
the list of judgment may be growing. So
yeah, so next week, Rat Race definitely, and then okay. if you want to convince me actually at any point about 2001, we can always schedule that in. But we'll just focus on Rat Race, and then maybe if you can think of like other caper kind of movies like that. I mean, I'm not sure we're gonna have a lot of Cannonball Run stories to tell, but you know that kind of thing.
Oh, Cannonball Run.
And I don't think I've ever seen It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Well, you know the Jonathan Winters movie?
Yes, I know the movie.
Yeah, I've never seen it. And that was if it wasn't the first of those movies, it definitely is the, you know, the grandfather of the later ones.
All right, so by caper movies, to clarify, by caper movies, you mean like comedic caper movies?
Caper is the bad story. I mean, I'm not talking about heist movies. I'm just talking about like madcap road trip sort of movies, like road race kind of movies, you know.
Okay, all right. Because you know, the first thing that when you said caper, unfortunately, with my horrible brain, the first thing that came to mind was that Sean Connery, Catherine Zeta-Jones movie that was awful. So.
Yeah, no, that's more of, yeah, I guess that's, I think of that more as like a heist movie, but you're right. There's definitely caperage afoot.
Yeah, you're looking more of the comedic people thrust together to try and accomplish something crazy, mayhem will ensue movie.
Yeah, I'm talking about like teams of people go on a big long adventure to beat the other teams.
All right.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, again, it may be a short list. We'll find out. But I'll do my research there. And anything else you want to add before we close out this probably relatively short, when it gets all edited down, episode where we neither of us really recommend a primer?
Nothing springs to mind immediately. So.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, thank you again. And
all right.
And actually, just to sum up real quick, we always want your comments at show@notinacreepyway. Or on Facebook, or on the Not in a Creepy Way website.
No, I say we want rants, and we want comments, and we want feedback, and tell us, if we're talking too loud or too soft, or the things that we can control, we certainly would like to control. So if I noticed in listening to last week's episode, I said the word fascinating like 12 times. So I have written on a piece of paper in front of me in giant letters, don't use fascinating more than once a podcast. So. Little things like that, if we rant and rave and we drive you crazy, please let us know, because, our goal is not to drive you too crazy. But.
Well, I was actually thinking about just taking, when I edit, I just chop out all the parts that, we don't use. And if I thought about just taking all the ums that we do, or all the like stuttery starts to the, or in the middle of a thought, we'll be like, I don't think that,
Are there really a lot of ums?
There's not as many ums, although there are some. I mean, there's just some you just do anyway. And I don't take all the ums out. You want to have it sound like a conversation, so I'm not going to chop it up too bad. But
right.
When we talk over each other, if we recover, then I can just chop out the talk over part. And if we don't, that's fine too, because you can usually hear both of it. But if I'm going to start out with, if I say but, and then pause, then I can just take out the butt. If only life was so easy, you can just take out the butt.
I will leave it at that.
Yeah, speaking of Eddie Murphy's first album.
Put the Boogie in Your Butt.
Oh, that was such a homophobic album, but it was so funny.
It was funny. It's still funny, by the way.
Oh, it is. I know.
It's a little bit dated, but it's still funny. Although, if you go back and play that video, because there is a video for it, Don't watch the video. Just listen to the song, but it will make you cringe even though it's just audio.
For me, Eric. No,
and this is Brother Jay.
Let's see. How
you mucked it up.
I know. How are we going to end it? It's like that's what, beginnings and endings are the worst parts. The middle takes care of itself.
You probably need to figure out how you want to end it.
Do you have any ideas? You want to end it? You can take the whole reins.
Take the whole reins. Well, I think what you want to do is, you started it. If you have any rants or raves, then, email us comments to, rants@notinacreepyway.com. Tell us what we're doing that you like. Tell us what we're doing that you don't like. And certainly if you want to send any cash donations, we'd be happy to spend it on booze and cigars. So for myself, Brother Jay, I say I wish you all a good night.
And from Eric, I say, in the words of Oscar Wilde, a good friend always stabs you in the front, but not in a creepy way. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
That's awesome. That's actually pretty awesome.
Okay, well. All right, well.
An Oscar Wilde quote. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's what you can all do. Right.
You've been listening to Not in a Creepy Way. If you have a rant or rave, please send your email to rants@notincreepyway.com.
Like us on Facebook. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Leave a comment. Turns out you can leave a 5-star rating and the comment could say your show sucks, and it still makes us happy. We're doing this for fun, and we're doing this a little bit for posterity, but we also want to be entertaining, so if you're entertained by this, let us know, and that'll buoy us along quite a bit. Thank you for listening, and I wish you a wonderful week, but not in a creepy way.